Hello, everyone, and welcome to Memory Card, the podcast version. If you don't know, the main version of this series is on my YouTube channel, Gamma Galaxian. But today, we're going to be talking about Star Trek and pretty much the first Star Trek game. So if you don't know, Star Trek is one of those shows that captures the imagination. And with its run from 1966 to 1969, it was really the perfect time to be fascinated with space. After all, this was in the middle of the space race, and the Apollo 11 moon landings happened in 1969, which was the last year the original series of Star Trek beamed onto televisions with new episodes. So in fact, after the last episode aired on June 3rd, 1969, it was only a month later that Apollo 11 landed on the moon on July 20th. It's kind of insane just how close those dates were. But Star Trek was created by Gene Roddenberry and starred William Shatner as Captain Kirk, Leonard Nimoy as Spock, DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy, James Doohan as Scotty, Nichelle Nichols as Uhura, George Takei as Sulu, and Walter Koenig as Chekhov. This was a cast that everyone fell in love with. So, however, although the show was really cheesy, and most of the action scenes were laughable, I mean, just think back at Kirk fighting the Gorn. I don't remember what episode name that was, but it is arguably the worst fight scene ever in any kind of history. It is just laughably bad. Although, you know, I think it's bad in a good way, because there's one of my favorite scenes of all time is the fight scene between Kirk and the Gorn. I love it every time it comes up in my algorithms. I love that scene so much. So even though it's pretty cheesy, it's 60s television, there's a lot of stories that were introduced that dealt with allegory, political conversations, and deep philosophical questions. So not only did it capture like the amazement of space and kind of the fun of cheesy television, but it also asked the questions that we should be asking ourselves. Plus, the show was a pioneer in diversity and inclusivity, including the first televised kiss between an African-American and white American, according to the Jim Crow Museum. So there were many reasons the show was a massive hit. Pretty much a lot of the reasons I had just laid out. If you don't know, I'm a huge fan of Star Trek, and so are a lot of people. A lot of people love Star Trek. So fans enjoyed the show so much that it spawned spin-offs, movies, books, and launched an entire franchise that created the great debate among nerds everywhere. What is better, Star Trek or Star Wars? I honestly don't know where I sit in that debate, because I love them both. I think they both have pros and cons to each. I think Star Wars is probably more entertaining, while Star Trek is more of a ponder about life's mysteries kind of show, if that makes sense. But Star Trek also spawned many video games that continue today, and you know, that's pretty much a no-brainer. There's Star Trek Online. There's a new Star Trek game that came out recently. I can't remember the name of it, but it was one that I wanted to try. But arguably, the first video game based on Star Trek was made all the way back in 1971. So I say arguably, as there are supposedly earlier Star Trek games, but I haven't really been able to find any concrete evidence of this beyond word of mouth. Everything that I put into research pretty much shows that Mike Mayfield's Star Trek in 1971 is the first Star Trek video game. So, without further ado, welcome to Memory Card, the History of Video Games. This is the podcast version, as I said. If you would like, go to my YouTube channel, Gamaglaxian, to watch this same episode, but in more of a video documentary form. The podcast is meant to be more laid back, but we still talk about all the same topics. We take a chronological look at video game history. We've started at the beginning and are continuing our way through history, looking at major games, consoles, events, and people, and looking at them through a microscope to see why they are so important to how they helped make video games what they are today. For this episode, we look at the first Star Trek video game. So, Mike Mayfield was a senior in high school, and he often visited the University of California in Irvine, where he was teaching himself how to program. At a computer lab at the university housed a... I just butchered that sentence. A computer lab at the university housed a SDS Sigma 7 and DEC PDP 10 mainframe computer that contained a copy of a video game, and it was called Space War. So we actually covered Space War in a previous episode, so I definitely recommend going back and checking out that previous episode so you can get the full context. I think the episode is the very first episode, The Beginnings of Video Games. We touch on Space War in that episode. So Mayfield was inspired by Space War and wanted to make his own game in the same vein. Because the Sigma 7 could only access a teletype model 33 ASR and Space War required a vector graphics display, Mayfield needed to create a game that could work better for a teleprinter. So Mayfield talked about the history of the Star Trek video game when he sent Games of Fame a message. Quote, "Back in 1971, I was a senior in high school. My school didn't have any computers, but I had managed to use an account on a Sigma 7 at the University of California in Irvine. I was trying to teach myself BASIC from a book. At the time, there was a program that ran on a vector graphics terminal on the Sigma 7 that was a simple shoot 'em up space war game. I wanted to make a game like that, but I only had access to an ASR 33 teletype, non-video terminal. This was back when Star Trek was hot. A bunch of my geek friends from high school and I spent a lot of hours brainstorming what we could do if we didn't have a video terminal. Since I was the only one in the group that had any knowledge of computers, we ended up coming up with a lot of unimplementable ideas. One idea that did stick was the idea of printing a galactic map and a star map to give you some idea of what to shoot at, and having phasers reduce power exponentially like they would if they shot in all directions. It may seem pretty simple now, but for a bunch of high school kids in the early 70s, it seemed pretty cool." So, as Mayfield met with a group of friends, many of the ideas weren't sounding that good, but Mayfield liked one, and that was a game based on Star Trek. So Mayfield immediately began working on the game all the way through his high school graduation. Later that year, the staff at a Hewlett-Packard office let him use a HP 2000C mini computer in the hopes that he could make his Star Trek game for their computer. Seeing as how the programming language was different, Mayfield had to start from scratch. The game was finished in October 1972, according to the Register. So at this point, Mayfield's creation caught the eyes of David Ahl, who saw the game in HP's public domain library. Ahl would go on to create a third version of the game using the Digital Equipment Corporation's programming. Once he completed it, it was published in the DEC User Society newsletter, and that caught the attention of many fans that wanted a Star Trek game on their computers. So we haven't talked a lot about David Aull yet, so this is a good chance to. Aull is an author who founded the Creative Computer magazine and also wrote Basic Computer Games, which was the first computer book to sell more than a million copies, according to Wikipedia. In 1950, Aull was at Malvern Junior Senior High School in Long Island, and he was a part of the school's photography club. On a field trip to New York City, Aull became fascinated with what was known as Radio Row, which would later be demolished to make room for the World Trade Center in the 60s, according to an article in Creative Computing. Radio Row was known for having all kinds of different old electronics, and in several months, Aull started a radio repair business. After he had gained further exposure to electronics and computers at Cornell in the late 50s, and in the early 70s, he joined the Digital Equipment Corporation. A few years into his employment, however, the United States economy was not doing well, and DEC had to make cuts, which included Aull, but the vice president of R&D at DEC asked Aull to be a part of his group. Shortly thereafter, Aull wrote 101 Basic Computer Games, which would become a staple in video game history, and we'll go over the connection with this book and Star Trek a little bit later in this episode. However, that is not where the history of the 1971 Star Trek ends. Bob Leadham also sent an email to Games Fame detailing his side of developing the game for the Data General Nova 800. It was 1974, and Leadham was working on porting Space War, aka Star Trek, onto the Nova. Quote, "It was really the first Star Trek program I had ever seen, and I was excited about getting it to run." Let's see here. "Unfortunately, the program used a foreign version of BASIC, and I had to figure out the string manipulation code and translate it to the Data General BASIC syntax. After I converted the code to Data General's version of BASIC and got the game running, various friends would come in to play and enjoy it with me. But as engineers, we were full of, quote, what if we could do this ideas, end quote. My buddies would make the suggestion and then disappear, and the next night I'd have a new version available. As it turned out, we very seldom finished a game because our enjoyment was primarily that of adding new features and trying them out." Leadham then wrote to the newspaper People's Computer Company talking about this new port of the game. And David Aull saw this letter in the newspaper and requested a copy from Leadham. Aull then published the game in Creative Computing magazine as Super Star Trek. So at this point, Aull wrote a new version of 101 Basic Computer Games that contained Super Star Trek, alongside the computer games such as Chomp, Civil War, Hexapon, Hammurabi, and Nim. Some of these we actually covered in the first episode as well, and Leadham notes that he received several phone calls for several years. Quote, "101 Basic Computer Games must have sold all over the world, because for 15 years after it came out, I got letters from most of the USA, plus England, Australia, and a few other countries. I answered them all, and in several cases struck up ongoing exchanges with some of the correspondents," end quote. Leadham's version, still known as Super Star Trek, became the main game in the book, so much so that Sears Telegames created a version for the Atari 2600 known as Stellar Trek. IBM also shipped a version of BASIC that included the game on the disc for its PCs. So before we go into the gameplay of Star Trek and Super Star Trek, let's go over a quick recap, because that was a lot of dumping of information. So essentially, Mike Mayfield created Star Trek in 1971 for the Sigma 7. Then he ported it to an HP computer, and HP distributed it in their public catalog. Then David Aull saw this HP version and ported it to the DEC BASIC and published it in his book. Then Bob Leadham saw David Aull's version and ported it to the Nova. And finally, David Aull saw Leadham's version and published it as Super Star Trek in the BASIC Games books. So there were also several different versions of Star Trek, including what the Register calls Apple Trek, which was actually released by Apple for the Apple II microcomputer in 1979. They had to change the name to avoid copyright. Acorn Soft released Galaxy, and there was another version called Space Trek. There was also Trek 73, created for HP Timeshare Basic, Star Trek for the Apple One, Star Trek 3 for the TRS-80, Apple II and Atari 8-bit, 3D Star Trek for the Atari 8-bit, and the rest of the many Star Trek games in the 80s. However, Star Trek also appeared on the Commodore PET, the Tandy TRS-80 Model 1, and the RML-380Z. There are a lot of Star Trek games. So much so that I'm out of breath. That's how many Star Trek games there are. So, but that is where the complicated history of the first Star Trek games ends. And now we're going to touch about... We're going to touch on how the game plays. So, how does it play? Well, we'll first look at Mike Mayfield's version. So, in the 1971 Star Trek game, of course, this is all text-based, much like many of the games at this time. So, the player controls the USS Enterprise and flies through the galaxy to fight Klingon warships within a specified time limit. The game has a text-based version of a cutscene at the beginning. The galaxy is laid out on a 8x8 grid of quadrants, and the game starts with a random number of Klingons, star bases, and stars. The game also changes the position of each of these each time a player enters a quadrant on the grid. The player can also view a map of the quadrant they are in by initiating a short-range scan command. A long-range scan will print out a map of the quadrants directly surrounding the player's current one. Combat is not too complicated. Phasers and photon torpedoes are used to attack, and there's no aiming requirement since this is all text. Instead, the player has to gauge how much power to put into each shot of the phasers. The torpedoes, however, are one-hit kill, but are aimed using what is called polar coordinates. And polar coordinates are a two-dimensional coordinate system. And I don't know enough about math to explain how exactly that is all calculated, so I'll let you do your own research on that one. I'm not even going to try to explain it. So on top of the combat, any movement and shields drain the energy of the Enterprise, which can only be restored by visiting a starbase. So that was the 1971 version, so let's talk about Super Star Trek. It has some variations on how it's played. So with Super Star Trek, there are a lot of similarities, but some differences, including a difficulty level system, which will control how smart the Klingon ships are and how many star bases there are. The game also changed the map from 8x8 to a 10x10 grid and added an alien known as The Thing, which is not to be confused with John Carpenter's The Thing, but I guess if you wanted to play with your imagination, I guess you could say it is. But essentially, on the short range scan, the thing would appear as a question mark, and it would screech, and Spock would usually make some kind of comment about it. So Super Star Trek also featured names for the quadrant, such as Rigel 3, even though it has no real relevance other than really just being a name. So yeah, the Chelans don't make an appearance in this. Those weird turtle things, they do not show up. I think the only aliens in this are the Klingons and the Thing. So that is where we end this episode. Star Trek's entrance into video games is quite complicated, but it's a really cool look into early game development. And the next episode of Memory Card, The History of Video Games, we will take a look at a few mainframe games that came around at this time. So, as always, I want to definitely shout out all my sources that I used in this episode. First of all, Games of Fame, the Register, Memory Alpha, the Star Trek Wiki, if you don't know what that is, Wikipedia, archive.org, especially the Creative Computing article, which is called David Tells All, which I love, The History of Creative Computing by J.J. Anderson, and also the Jim Crow Museum for the information about the first interracial kiss on television. I want to thank all those sources. Definitely go check out all those sources. There's a lot of great stories, and I barely just scratched the surface just for this episode. So definitely go check out all those sources. I had a lot of fun researching for this one. I did not realize how complicated the history of Star Trek really was. The first Star Trek video game. As I said, I'm a big Star Trek fan. As a kid, I was not interested in Star Trek, but as I got older, I grew to really appreciate Star Trek, especially the original series, which to me is my favorite. There's just something about the original series that I love, and including the movies that star the original series cast. I just love that era of Star Trek. But that's pretty much going to do it for this episode. We will talk about some mainframe games in the next one. Yeah, that's pretty much going to do it. Go check out the sources. Go check out my YouTube channel, Gamma Galaxian. I haven't really been streaming on Twitch, but I might get around to it again at some point. So all my social media is very easy. It's all the same, Gamma Galaxian. And yeah, I will see you for the next episode. Thank you so much.